Well, here we are again for another special edition of our Getting to Know podcast. I'm really lucky to be joined by David Evans this morning. The beauty of technology, connecting on opposite ends of the country. David's obviously taken Swansea University to significant success this season and obviously in previous years as well. David, thank you for joining me. How are things going? Everything well? Everyone well?
Yes, being safe and healthy, which is the important thing. And same as everyone across the world, really, trying to deal with isolation and the craziness of the coronavirus. But hopefully we're coming to the end of that, and everything can return to normal.
Well, congratulations first and foremost on the success you've had at Swansea University. Obviously, this season as well has been a very successful season. And now that you've had a chance to, I guess, because of this pandemic, to not be on the touchline every 5 minutes, it must seem like. What are the emotions that come to you when you think of the success you've had at the club?
Yeah, you're probably right. I think most clubs, I've had a chance to reflect maybe during this little period, and I think it's been a brilliant journey, and most of the journey, if I'm perfectly honest, happened before I arrived at Swansea University. There was a group of students 8 years ago that formed the domestic club on top of the university league, called Team Swansea, and had a fantastic, successful run through the Swansea leagues. So it's been an 8 year journey in total, and I've only been helping them for 4 years of that. So a lot of work has gone in, from day one 8 years ago, and the last kind of 4 years has been a whirlwind, as you said. I've been 3.5 seasons, or 3 full seasons, I should say. But the success has been excellent. The students have been absolutely brilliant and a credit to Swans University, and you reflect on the enjoyable parts of it all. You reflect on the crazy parts of it all. You reflect on the tough times. But that's why we're all involved in football and coaching. It's, when you do reflect, it's more than just the sport, and it's more than football. It's relationships. It's building people up. It's the community. All those things. We're just very fortunate, very lucky to experience it all.
And when you started this journey with the club, I guess doesn't feel like that long ago, really, how quickly it's all gone. But could you have envisaged a journey like you've had?
I don't look forward too much, if I'm perfectly honest. I think the potential was there. When I did arrive 4 years ago, the club needed a huge amount of work. I'm not going to lie. So, I think you could see potential just because it's a brilliant university, and it attracts, great students, with a really solid base of facilities, etc. But the infrastructure was lacking, as far as sport and football, and the vision really of where it could go. But to fully answer your question, no, we didn't envisage it because we didn't look that much forward that quickly, if that makes sense. So it's moved so fast. We've barely ever been able to put a plan together because by the time the next season starts, we're already sprinting type of thing, and trying to deal with what's right in front of us. So strategically, it's been difficult to plan this all ahead because continual success doesn't give you time really. So we've just done the best we can with it, and enjoyed it as much as possible.
Take me back to the beginning of your personal football journey, I guess. Where did your love of football come from? I mean, do you have any early memories of football that stand out that made you fall in love with the game,
Yeah,
so to speak?
football's been my life since I was a little boy, really. West Wales, born and bred in a small village in Llandyssil, played for Llandyssil. My father being the only coach or influence I had, really, in much of a rugby-driven educational setup in school. So, apart from my father with a village, probably I wouldn't have been introduced to football. And back then, you didn't get much of an opportunity to go outside of those rural areas to play and develop, not like today. But brilliant memories. And from that day on, hooked almost to football, and took me from there, you know, into university. My parents were, you know, very big on education. But, you know, I pursued still playing football. I played in the League of Wales with Carmarthen while I was doing my degrees. Went up to London to play. Had a bad injury. And that pushed me back into my academics and my teaching and my coaching then, really. And that took me to the States, where I spent 16 years from 2000 until I came back to Wales in 2015, which, you know, I've been back in the Swansea area since then.
In terms of your playing career, I mean, at what point, if at any point during that, did coaching in the future become what you wanted to do, or does that stem from your academic sort of background as much as anything else?
To be honest, coaching never crossed my mind, really, because I was never really introduced to too many coaches, if that makes sense. I never had the opportunity, just a brilliant relationship with my father as far as football. But my mum was a teacher, so I kind of picked up, you know, some teaching traits, and she always said, oh, you'd be a good phys ed teacher type of thing. But I didn't even think about that too seriously, just thinking about enjoying my football. I was always the captain, I suppose, of all my youth teams. So I enjoyed, you know, thinking of others. I enjoyed leadership. I enjoyed the group ethic more than, you know, being an individual sportsman, I suppose, or a golfer or a tennis player. So I did enjoy that group ethic, the group dynamic. So, you know, it didn't really, until I got injured, until I then did my degree as a teacher, phys ed, that's when probably I really started to think about coaching. I was 23. I did my C license, I remember, with the Welsh FA when I was 22 or 23 in North Wales. And that was just before I did my teaching degree and before I left for the US. And that's when I really, you know, kind of realized that I actually enjoyed it as much as playing, or potentially I could enjoy it more than playing. And that's when the thoughts started to come in my head.
And in terms of going over to the States, I mean, two questions here, really. How did that come about, firstly? And secondly, what were the main sort of cultural differences, I guess, in terms of sports over there? I mean, I watch a lot of basketball, for example, and my sort of understanding, I play basketball as well, but my understanding of the game and the way they perceive it over in America is they're very goal-orientated in terms of what they want to achieve. I mean, did you observe that yourself? And is that a difference, do you think, to over here?
Yeah, it was a brilliant experience. Spoke to a lot of people within Welsh football about it, and it was interesting to the point that maybe I didn't get much depth subject knowledge as far as football while I was there. I was almost left to my own devices to develop myself as a football coach, or soccer as they say, but I used the time as much as I could just to really observe some brilliant educators out there, some outstanding teachers, some outstanding coaches, you know, that went on to coach, you know, NFL, NBA players, and some of the best athletes in the world. So I watched those cultures. So you watch practitioners work. And, you know, if you watch a good practitioner work in sport, there's crossovers everywhere. You're managing people, you're managing expectations, you're managing excess, you know, kind of excess of training, excess of, could be budgets, it could be, you know, expectations, it could be, you know, pressures of money or scholarships or, you know, parents or all those things. Kind of, you watch it in all the other sports, and to be honest, when you watch it in America in all the other sports, it's very extreme. So when you do watch it, you know, those extreme sports in America and how it's handled, when you come back to football, you know, it helps to look at it, but yeah, you do take a lot from it. You learn a lot from it. And I was lucky to be at Dartmouth for 12 years as a teacher and a coach. And, you know, I was fortunate. It's regarded as one of the best sporting schools in the whole country, that just a factory for developing, you know, the best athletes, you know, in all the professional sports. So to be in a classroom and to watch them train and perform was fantastic, really.
Is that what you take away from the experience the most, the exposure to that different culture, I guess?
I think so. I remember, you know, it was an all-boys school, 1,000. They were either athletes or they were musicians. And, you know, their drive even then at the age between 14 and 18 to be the best was incredible. I'd watch 7-foot basketball players come in and, you know, go into the gym at 5:30 in the morning and do a workout until 7:30 and then go into class at 7:30 until 2:00. And those athletes weren't even guaranteed to be a professional athlete. You know, they were trying to get into Division One university for a scholarship and hopefully make the NBA, and the same with the NFL prospects. So, and the same with the prospects I had for football. But, you know, for that dedication, at that level, when you're not even sure you're going to have a career, you know, speaks volumes, really, when, you know, I know many sports and many professional athletes that don't work as hard. So it is ingrained. It's that capitalistic kind of mentality of winning and competing. They love to compete, and, you know, if second kind of, so, you know, it is about that winning mentality, which can be good and bad when you're also, you know, looking to develop, but regardless, and to experience that.
And in terms of other experiences you had over there, you obviously worked with DC United as well. I mean, what sort of an experience was that for you? And in terms of the way that league's developed since then, I guess, I mean, in MLS and so on, I mean, are you surprised at how quickly football seems to be, or men's football in particular, seems to be developing over there?
I'm not surprised how quickly it's developed, because it's, you know, it's such a popular sport on the youth level, and families are now evolving to love football or soccer, as they say. So I'm not surprised by it. What's interesting is I don't think the game is progressing as fast as on the top level. I think that's interesting, and I think there's a lot of frustrations behind that. And what plays a part in that is how powerful the other sports are in America, as far as basketball, football, baseball, where the big governing body of the universities, for example, NCAA, is kind of driven by basketball, American football, and, you know, that is still one of the great, you know, kind of breeding grounds for soccer. But they still kind of operate soccer within the rules of the NBA or the rules of the NFL to prepare the athletes for those sports. So until I think football or soccer is fully respected in American sporting circles, I think it won't fully develop to the rate that it should. But I spent a lot of time out and developed a lot of clubs and players, and you know, it's nice to look back and to see it develop. I think there's much, much more to come from the country, I think, for football, though.
And what brought you back to Wales?
Oh, the usual, a Welsh-speaking boy missing home, a family. I loved my career, and I probably left at a really, really good part of my career as far as football. Things were going extremely well and successful, etc. But, you know, family comes first, it always has with me. And there was difficulties in the family. My mum was poorly at the time. So it wasn't even a dilemma for me. You know, as soon as, you know, there's difficulties at home, you know, I made the decision to come home and support the family. And that would always be number one for me. But I never really saw myself living there the rest of my life, as many people arrive and decide that. You know, there's, you know, I've got proud roots in Wales. I have a fantastic family, brilliant friends. And I love living in Wales. I love being a Welsh speaker. I love Welsh life. So, you know, I was there a long time, that I still think of it as a second home, though. So I have fantastic people in America that I talk to daily. I still have great mentors in America. I still have people that I regard as family there. So, you know, I don't even feel like I've moved either, if that makes sense. I still feel a part of both places. So, I don't feel as if I've moved back. I just feel like I've gone back to my roots, but I'm still connected with a lot of great people in the US.
And what a lot of people won't know, I think, is that you were actually involved with Cardiff Met as well before you were involved with Swansea Uni. Can you talk us through that experience and how it came about? Was that through your studies and so on that you became involved with Met?
Yeah, it was interesting. I think it was 2011, 2012. I was I'd already started to think about, you know, wanting to come home even before, you know, illness in the family, really. But I did a master's in coaching science part-time while I was still working full-time at Dumatha and DC United. So I was coming back for almost like 6 to 8 week blocks to study at Cardiff Met over a course of 4 years. Brilliant experience, fantastic course, great learning, you know, practically and theoretically, and was working with Professor Robin Jones, and a fellow student, strangely at the time on the course, was Christian. And he was, you know, at the time building Cardiff Met up from the bottom of the Welsh League, as it was at the time. And, you know, I gladly, and I appreciated, got involved with him and, you know, helped only when I was there temporarily, whenever he needed any help, but just to be around the game and around the students and to watch their success as they progressed after that is just absolutely brilliant. It's a great story. And go back to what we said earlier, you know, talk about football and achieving things, but when it's all said and done, it's the people, it's the relationships that mean the most. And a lot of those players were still there, to be honest, Jamie, that were there at the start, Elliot, and, you know, a lot of players, Will Fuller and Dan Spencer, a lot of players are still there that were there when I was there. And, you know, I think it's not just a good football journey for those people, but it's going to be one of the highlights of their lives. So it's been brilliant to see, and a great example, I think, for university sports in general in Britain, and a brilliant example of Welsh football. So just delighted for them. I really hope the story continues and they push on again. But I know it's tough, and it's taken a strain at times there. And, you know, as anything, if you work so hard and, you know, you spread yourself, I think, you know, people outside of football don't quite know how much goes into it in working and coaching. And I know how hard they've worked. So I just hope they can really push on again and maybe go to another level. It would be brilliant to see.
And how did your experience there with a university side help you, or did it help you at all in formulating your approach to, you know, managing a university side in the future?
Yeah, again, at the time, I didn't think about it because, you know, at the time it didn't cross my mind that I'd be back working at Swansea University, for example. So at the time I was just enjoying my coaching and learning from other people, as you always do in coaching, and watching other people and watching those players, those students. And so just learned generally. I didn't really think about preparing myself for this position that I'm in at the moment. But you do pick things up. And what it did help me, if I'm honest, Jamie, it just reminded me of the Welsh football landscape, because I'd been away for, you know, at that time, 12 years. So it just reminded me of my days playing in the League of Wales, and reminded me of Welsh football, you know, the challenges of it, and, you know, and the enjoyable parts of it. So it probably did whet my appetite to come home, you know, being back in those situations and relationships with good, great Welsh people and, you know, great British students, etc. So it did probably maybe confirm what I had in the back of my head, that I wanted to come home, at least that anyway.
And do you see the sort of model that Swansea have and Cardiff Met have as being something that institutions might follow in future, in terms of, you know, that marriage between football and education?
I think it's proven across the world, and more so in other countries than Britain, to be honest. I think if you can get young people, female or male, really dedicated to a sport, more often than not, you'll find a parallel in them committing their time to their studies to improve their craft just as much. Whether it's time management, or whether it's discipline, or whether it's drive, it helps both codes. Or even, I was a poor student myself, it just gave me the incentive to study, to be involved in sport. And that sometimes young people need that, an incentive to be a part of education, to become qualified. So whatever the motivation, I think it does have lots of benefits to any institution that that do want to take things a little bit more serious, maybe to push their students a little bit further, to challenge them. I think it makes them, you know, stronger, more determined people, I think.
And turning to this season, I mean, you were second, I think, from as early as October, if I remember correctly. I mean, you started very well. And you actually said to me at the time that you were surprised at how you'd handled the jump to this level, more off the field than on it. I mean, what sort of developments have taken place? These are the things that people maybe don't think about. I mean, what sort of developments take place at a club off the field as they rise through the leagues in the way that you guys have?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's massive challenges on and off the field, as you said, when you jump leagues consecutively. But I think off the field was significant, especially this year, because you're operating for the first time as a Tier 2 club, because last year we were a Tier 3 club. You're operating to compete in a Tier 2 club, to, as it happens, to try and win Tier 2. And then you're operating as a Tier 2 club, applying to become a Tier 1 club at the same time as competing. So trying to build all of that off the field, and to build a club and a board, and an understanding within the institution of what's required, is extremely difficult to do it all simultaneously. But that's what we tried to do. We had some brilliant people involved this year that came involved more so and helped. Some great people in the past that have helped us, you know, at different points. All largely volunteers who, you know, who've offered their time at the university to help us. And it takes time, and it's going to have to continue that way. And, you know, more people will have to become involved, and, you know, the understanding will have to increase. As you said, people see the football side of it, and they'll see either success or failure on the grass, but, you know, that's only a small side of it. You know, the vast percentage of the operation is, you know, off the field in creating an opportunity for the players to perform and to succeed, and especially in the leagues. And as you know, as you go up in the tiers, then the requirements administratively, you know, go up again. So, those challenges are always there. And as you said, you can't really prepare yourself for it, because you don't know the following year if you're going to be in those situations regarding promotion or if you stay in the same league. So those things have been massive challenges. There's no doubt about that.
And it's interesting. I spoke to Chris Roberts last week, who's the manager of Llangefni. They also came up from Tier 3 last season up to Tier 2 this year. And they were delighted to stay in the league. You know, they've secured their place on points per game. That was always their target, you know, to do that. And then anything else that came was a bonus. For you, I mean, how did you approach this season? I mean, obviously, externally, you can say to the media and so on, oh, we just want to stay in the league. But did you sense that was genuinely the realistic target? Or did you think that you could go further than that?
Yeah, to be honest, and this is the truth, we never spoke about winning the league from last summer until recent events, really, and that is the truth. I think, you know, you can talk about winning leagues or winning titles as much as you want. It doesn't necessarily help you achieve it, you know. In fact, it can actually, you know, it can actually damage, you know, belief sometimes, because it can put too much pressure on teams and individuals. But the only requirement that I specifically demand is improvement, you know, and, you know, whether it's from one tactical session to the next tactical or technical, whatever it is, or game from one week to the other, is just to progress, develop. And if the group of players do that, then you stand a great chance anyway of succeeding. So the pressure with us is always to get better week after week after week, whether the result on a Saturday is a win or a draw. Because sometimes you can actually improve and develop and actually lose the game because of multiple variables, whatever. But you just ask them to commit to improving and to have, you know, pride in getting better. And this group this year, I've done it better than any group in the last 4 years at Swansea. So, you know, huge credit to them. You know, we kind of set that weekly target to get better. And to be perfectly honest, I know You know, some people even talked of us being relegated, you know, this year, and, you know, to struggle. And but it is a very, very tough league, and there's a lot of experienced clubs in here that have been in this league for years and years. But that's all we could do is just, you know, improve what we do and enjoy it, you know, enjoy every second of it and compete. And, you know, I think no one will argue that we did that.
Absolutely. I mean, you said to me in October, I think you were about to play Kaneki when we spoke then. And you said that was the biggest test that you had up to that point. At what point, if any, did you personally, not necessarily to the players and in conversation with the players, think, you know, we're in the mix here, we've got a chance, or did that conversation not happen to yourself, sort of thing?
That's right. Probably the table then did suggest we were in the mix, as you said, and I remember that game specifically, because it was a little bit crazy. We were losing 2-0 at half time to Kaneki, and I remember speaking to him half time, and again it was based on that, not winning the league or not even beating Kaneki. We were like playing so poorly, not playing poorly, but playing beneath ourselves, I should say. We weren't playing poorly at all, actually, but we're playing beneath ourselves, which, you know, doesn't add up to improving. And that's all you requested at half time. Say, we're not doing ourselves justice. If we're going to lose this game, we've got to lose it playing at our capacity. And we came back to win 3-2 in that game. And I think that was a big catalyst for us to go on and win the league, to the belief. But yeah, just the same, really. I thought that, ironically, that could sum up the season. I think first half, they felt the pressure to potentially stay in the mix, as you say, or to win the league. When, you know, the criteria was to basically, we need to improve each week. And second half, they went back to what they can do and just concentrated on the performance. And came back to score, I think, the winner in injury time, I think, 3-2, which was a brilliant day for the students. It was an enjoyable victory that day. But, yeah, you just try and manage the situation, you know, being in the mix and talk of the title. Yeah, you can waste a lot of time talking about it, or you can stress people out. But the basic stuff is to get better every day, training and games, and see where that takes you.
And just finally, I mean, I know you've said a couple of times in this conversation that you don't like to look too far ahead, but you've had a time here now that you've thoroughly enjoyed, and you've, you know, has gone quickly, and you haven't had really that time to reflect on it until now. Now that you have reflected a little bit, I guess, where do you see the future for this club being?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think, you know, the potential is big, I think, for the club. As I said, it's a brilliant institution, a great university. The students have done them proud in taking them this far on the journey. I think the potential is them for them to go a step further. There's potential there for the club and the students to play in the Welsh Premier League. I think the students deserve the experience. You know, that would be the main reason. You know, I think they deserve to play at that level, especially after their achievements, especially this year. So I think that's the potential. Obviously, we operate in many capacities with the club. We operate in the Bucks Premier League University as well, which is an unbelievable league in Britain. And we have different programs as far as futsal, ladies football. So the club itself is a big, big club. So the men's senior is just one part of it. But I think the potential is there to go the next level again. But I think it goes back to what we talked about. It's, you know, getting that collective group together to understand the piece of work that's needed on and off the field, within the club, within the board, within the university, to respect really the work and what's needed to be put in place to achieve that. So the potential is definitely there.
Now, look, I want to thank you for finding the time to have a chat. It's been really great to catch up, and obviously offer my congratulations once again on the success you've had this season and the team. And very best wishes for this period now that we're in the middle of. Not sure when it's going to end, obviously, but as soon as it does, I look forward to making another long journey to Swansea and catching up with you on the pitch side, hopefully.
Brilliant. Thanks for all the work you do.
Oh, thank you very much.